This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are at the Goose Island Barrel Warehouse sampling all six of the Bourbon County Stout variants from Goose Island. Dive into those and chat about all the events happening on Black Friday.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're on location this time for this episode. Where are we at, Nick?
Man, for the first time since 2014, we are at the Goose Island Beer Company, man. We got a special guest, too, man.
Woo!
We got brewmaster Jaron Jankowski. Did I get that right?
Jankowski. It's a tricky one.
How are you, man?
I'm good. It's nice to see you guys.
Yeah, good to have you here. Good to be here because we're drinking this whole lineup of Bourbon County Stout. Like, all the listeners out there, they can't see this, but we have a lot of beer in front of us.
This is the first time I've done this this year.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious?
About the 26th time I've done this. 'Tis the season.
Yeah, man. God help us all, man. How are you, man? What have you been to lately, man? Did you go to Prop Day?
I did. I stopped in late at Prop Day, which was the way to do it. Because, well, you know, 5 hours of BCS is 5 hours of BCS.
It was, there's no way around that. I'm glad that there's a cold winter event, even if it's a cold winter block party, because Michigan's got one. They go to that that baseball stadium up there, and they do a full-on winter fest.
So yeah, yeah.
I'm excited about that.
We had Bock Fest in Madison at Capitol Brewery. That's like mid-February.
Yeah.
That's a great one to go check out sometime. But I totally agree. I mean, with the beer being the beer, it's absolutely refreshing to drink this beer in 30-degree weather.
There was gelato, there were cigars, there was coffee. Oh, you know, the wildest story I heard at Prop Day was I'm hanging out with the Intelligentsia guys because, you know, I'm old. The rush is for the beer. I'm chilling with those guys. It's quiet. And then this dude's like, yeah, man, you know, we just had to get a new roaster because our roaster for 5 years decided he wanted to quit making coffee and go brew beer at Goose Island. So he quit to go next door and start to brew with you guys.
Yeah, that we asked first. We did. Those guys are great neighbors. We love them. And Dan Floyd, great guy. We asked him first.
Right on.
So the first beer we have in front of us now is the original Bourbon County Stout, right, for this year.
Yep.
So anything different this year? The same recipe, same, like, I know this year we kind of went into a little more stuff went into bottles and kind of just taking precautions, right?
That's roughly accurate. what we're doing now is we've gone back to a single source for the barrels, they're all freshly dumped. We added a bunch of nice little kind of quality specifications to the barrel procurement side of things. So we want them unrinsed and untouched beyond what's required by law, which is a very small water rinse after the whiskey's extracted. And then from there, they hammer the bung back in, set them aside, and if they meet our age and integrity, like literally the physical integrity of the barrel, they meet those specifications, they come to us in a very short period of time after that, and that's what we require now. So they're nice and punchy. I call them wet barrels.
Okay.
Punchy's good though. are you going through a third party to acquire these barrels? Is that how it usually
works? We do.
Works?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Which who we have a very close and personal relationship with, and also with the distillers as well at Heaven Hill. So
right on.
We're buds.
Nice. I'm enjoying it. It has been a while since besides Phobab, but before that, until I had some Bourbon County.
Oh, so for like 8-9 days.
Yeah, it's been like 9 days. But Phobab is a beast in its own, so having it like sit down and think about it, it's really nice to, I guess, take it all in here.
Yeah. In my opinion, fine example of Bourbon County original. I think the you asked if there was anything that was a little bit, you know, distinctive about this year's BCS. I think with what I just explained, there's a bit of an overt bourbon note, which I think is nice. I think it really fulfills the kind of the profile in a way that has all your you know, your chocolate and your toffee, molasses, you know, these nice burnt sugar notes, the roast, and then you have to have the bourbon note. And I think it's prevalent, and I think it's nice.
Yeah, that my buddy always says, brownie batter in a glass, brownie batter. Those notes are playing the background,
yeah,
and it's more about oak and booze.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it used to be. Like, the very first time I had it, it reminded me of that.
It slowly slipped into that.
It slowly slipped in. Yeah, yeah.
Chocolate, and now it's coming back. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah.
So then, what else do we have in the lineup? We got quite a big lineup coming up this year.
Oh, yeah. So we're at 6. We got 6 this year.
Okay.
Now, Jared, how long have you been a brewmaster here, man?
Brewmaster has been, I'm losing count. I want to say about a little under 3 years now.
Okay. And so now since you've been here, now, we always get confused on how Bourbon County starts. Does it start as Demolition? You remember, not Demolition, but Night Stalker. Demolition was a golden era. What the fuck am I doing? Night Stalker. Right. Does it start as Night Stalker, this beer?
Oh, we haven't made Night Stalker in forever. I can't remember if that was a different recipe or not, to be honest. It's Bourbon County base beer is, I have not thought about this for a while. We haven't made those beers in about 4 years.
I think it was always the thought that it was Night Stalker.
Okay.
That was not the case.
Okay.
So
is that true? We got Bo here nodding his head.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic sweater, by the way, Bo.
I think that's what people like to say, but it, just to maybe build up hype for Night Stalker. But
yeah, right?
It was a great
Yeah, because when you see Night Stalker, you're like, oh, shit, you know, this is Unbarrel Aged BCS. I got to get it. All right. Yeah. Now, we dived into number 2 here.
Yeah.
So coffee. Mm-hmm. This year we went back to the original bean that we used, which was the Intelligentsia Black Cat Espresso. Every year we have a great time with them, kind of trying to pull together some things in their opinion as the coffee experts in the hood and beyond. What they feel like is an interesting or unique or a particularly good agricultural year for a given single origin coffee. And they pull a bunch of those together for us, and we'll do the coffee cupping process, which is the formal sensory assessment of coffee. And we've picked the ones out that we like, and then we come over to the brewery and they make cold brew for us, and then we try it with Bourbon County Stout, and like we call it a benchtop trial size tasting. So we'll make a liter or so, and then we'll all try them blind and assess it in the beer. So the coffee every year kind of takes on a life of its own in the beer, which is pretty neat. And this year we went through a bunch and we couldn't quite decide, and this has been bouncing around in my head for a while. And we even waited for a couple of Guatemalans to come in and be roasted late in the game, in the decision-making process. And we actually ran one last blind tasting with our other final candidate and Black Cat and a couple Guatemalans. And we all unanimously and blindly picked the Black Cat Espresso. So
yeah.
It's just something we had been thinking about for a while, going back to the original, just for fun. And in this case, we landed in a place where we... we wanted we always want like a clear favorite and kind of a runaway.
Yeah.
And we weren't quite there, and that happens. So.
But I feel like that almost fits the theme of this year's maybe Bourbon County, is like the going back to maybe those bourbon notes that you expect, and the barley or the original one that kind of has that flavors you remember from Bourbon County. And so now going back to Black Cat, you're like, oh yeah, it's all, I guess, coming full circle again.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's you. I mean, I agree with the original. I mean, I think that's probably a little bit of a function of the, nothing's changed about the recipe, obviously, but
of course, yeah.
Of the barrels and them being fresh and wet. That's where you get that bold bourbon character.
Right.
So pretty fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Going back to the Prop Day party, they had, the first thing I did was get the double barrel, or maybe it was reserve, but definitely one of those two. Oh, but they had celebration coffee, the celebration blend from Intelligentsia.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, hey, let me give this a spin. And to your point, man, it's a different flavor. That was like full on, like bright berry notes in the celebration. You get that dark roasted note in this, and yeah. it's a different ballgame. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Nice. So now we're pouring the barley wine here now, right? The red top one.
that's the one.
They always throw me right. The coffee and the barley wine. Yeah. Always throw me. Yeah.
So what's the tell us about the barley wine this year.
Yeah, so barley wine is, once again, all fresh bourbon barrels. We used to do a blend, and, you know, we like the fresh bourbon notes. The thing that I really like about this beer, well, there's really three things. There's an ester profile that comes from the high gravity fermentation that is much less masked in barley wine than it is in, you'll get it in Bourbon County Stout, but it's kind of one of the three critical elements, I think, of barley wine. And then, of course, the bourbon character that we've been talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And then a nice, rich, lighter malt character to kind of wrap everything up. So, to me, you know, it's kind of, this is one of the beers that, you know, I know every year people always want to pick a favorite, and that's cool. you know, I try to defer that question and say, you know, it's like picking, you know, which one of my kids is, yeah. is the
you
favorite.
You got a favorite kid. Come on.
I don't, no, actually.
No one can know.
I'm not there yet. Maybe when they get a little bit older and, you know, whatever, that'll be more clear.
They're going to be by his locker, like, you know, on his podcast, he said you brought his favorite kid, right?
Yeah, right. But barley wine for some people rides in the number one spot, and I think that's super cool. There's another big beer. It's really the same. It's a different recipe, obviously, but it's the same specifications as Bourbon County Stout, so it's a massive beer in its own right, and it all comes together really nicely, I think, with those three elements. I'm wondering if, you know, moving to all fresh bourbon barrels for this has helped to pop the ester profile a little bit.
Yeah, it seems, well, it adds something else that other barley wines you end up having just don't have. Like, usually they're very sweet and kind of, like, sticky feeling, and this doesn't have it. It feels almost refreshing for 14% here. So
it ranks, like, really high for me this year. I really like barley wine this year.
So the fresh barrels, do you think, going from previous years of barley wine is making a big difference on this one? If someone's sitting on a previous year's barley wine and they came back to this, it's going to be completely different, right?
I wouldn't say completely different. I mean, they should be analogous. Anything that's older is going to have more oxidative notes. The beer ages pretty nicely.
Yeah.
You know, just a little punchier. You know, it's kind of a, it's just a little bit of a profile tweak, I guess. It's a function of the, I think, the bourbon character amongst those other two that I talked about. So,
Now, Jared, a little bit before we started recording, you were talking about how, like, you guys now are equipped to handle Bourbon County more so than previous years. Can you talk about that a little bit, what you meant by that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we've always fought the good fight with Bourbon County Stout. It's just not a very efficient beer to make on traditional brewing equipment. So we've added, in the last couple of years, we've added a mash filter in the brew house, and a trube decanter. So that is basically
trube.
Correct. some people would call it like a settling decanter. It's kind of like a horizontal centrifuge, basically. But it takes out heavy solids from the wort prior to cooling into the cellar. So the last step in the brew house. And this wort is so viscous and buoyant that it's hard to settle out a lot of that stuff. So Trub is effectively a coagulated protein. And then you've also got some hop matter in there as well. And what this thing does is you run a loop, goes out to it, and it basically removes that stuff and then comes right back to the whirlpool. So it's pretty neat and very appropriate technology that's allowed us to get better yields. You know, it doesn't change the process in any way. We would have so much of that stuff suspended literally that we couldn't get to settle out into a nice compact pile in the center of the whirlpool because of that buoyancy it was very efficient. We'd have lots of losses there as well. So in the that's the kind of the middle piece. The one upstream I mentioned earlier, the mash filter, is some people call them a mash press. They're very efficient at getting extract out of grain, but also getting high gravity concentrated extract out. Yeah. So it's pretty insane what we're getting out of that thing right now. But it's boosted our yields, which is really cool. And throughput times are improved, which is nice. And we're basically getting getting nearly the yield of what we used to have, what we used to get in two grist bills. We're getting nearly the same volume in about half of that amount of grain. All right. A little more than half, about 55 to 60%. So I know it gets a little wonky, but for us, it's a big deal. This is a bottleneck in the brewery. It always has been.
Yeah,
truly,
the efficiency.
Yeah, right. And just the throughput. You know, we have other beer to make too.
Yeah.
but it's always been a labor of love. So to have this equipment's been really, really nice. And on the back end, we have a centrifuge that we installed that's more robust than our old one, and can handle heavier solids loads, yeast, and bits of barrel char, things like that, with no problem. Right. So all those things have just basically are more appropriate pieces of equipment for the process.
Right on.
Makes sense,
yeah.
So now we're going to dive into these, the back three here, which are kind of more of the, I guess, experimental kind of, they're different every year.
Yeah, there's coffee, barley wine, and OG come out every year, but right. the other ones do not.
They're tweaked a little.
They are tweaked. And one more note about barley wine. Now, we know that you guys wanted to do reserves. You wanted to have two barley wines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other barley wine, any other plans for it being converted into anything else? We're thinking brandy. We're thinking barbecue sauce. What is the brew what is the brewmaster at Cusado say?
No plans at the moment for it. Yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that for the moment.
Fair enough. All right. So now, what is this? What is this next one we're doing?
This is the Northwood Stout.
Right on.
Correct.
Blueberry almond, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now this is one that's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, this was my recipe, I guess, or my idea. I've been thinking about this idea for a few years, and you know, I was talking to a group the other day about it, and we began a process a while back to just involving the brewers in the process of making the variant and also the proprietors release as well. So these are obviously, they have an adjunct, some other ingredient added to the base beer. And we had a contest. The first year was hilarious. We had a bunch of brewers who some of them you guys maybe have talked to in the past that have gone off to other opportunities. And you know, I don't know what the deal was. We were in a spot where it seemed like a good idea at the time, and I said, you know, why don't we have just give everybody Bourbon County Stout and let people experiment with it, you know.
Yeah.
Take some home, do things. I mean, there's literally people in their kitchens with Bourbon County Stout, like, and their friends, like, screwing around.
Mixing. It's basically like a blending.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so you take the ingredients and you make like a, you know, you take a 1 liter, like a little Nalgene bottle or something. And you may strain the ingredients out. So in the early days, some people didn't do that even, you know, it was all kinds of roughness. But it was proof of concept, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it was people just doing R&D on their own and having fun doing it. And it was really great. I remember the first year we did it, we all did it in the brewery, had our ideas, brought our ingredients in. And
this
we
was probably the first prop year, right? Probably somewhere around then. Right?
It was, I think it was. Yeah, that was Toasted Coconut. That was 2013, okay. If I recall. That was Zach Greenwood's creation, okay. Actually. I have no idea where he is now.
No.
He was famous for wearing V-neck T-shirts to work.
Okay,
that's true.
Get you a little chest hair, a little man cleave.
He was a little that way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
he was kinda,
I know guys like that.
He was kind of clubby, you know. In any event, it was funny. I mean, everybody brought their ingredients in. We were all doing it in the lab at the time. Had us limited spots on the shaker table, right? So this is a table that just rotates. So you might use it to like propagate yeast, keep something mixing. They're common in labs. And then there's also magnetic stir plates, right? Where you put one of those little magnetic stir bars, you remember from chemistry class, right? Just drop it right into the beer and it would stir and it'd create a vortex and it would mix your BCS with your ingredients. And then other people got shut out, right? So then you'd come down like to check on your creation and someone would have moved you.
And swapped their man.
Like it was this hilarious competition everybody had. It was all, everybody's being all sneaky and everything. And it was a ton of fun. And so, and out of it, we got some great ideas from the team, which was awesome. And then I kind of just stepped back a little bit at that point because I just loved everybody participating and having fun. It became kind of the spirit of the variants every year, you know. But I had this idea cooking in my head for a while. And this year, I kind of wanted to see if I couldn't put some time into it and dial it in a little bit. So. And it worked out pretty well. It's just blueberry. It's just pure blueberry juice and pure almond extract, which is an ingredient that's in marzipan. So if anyone's ever had like a that kind of white crusty frosting on like an upside down kind of poppy seed cake or bundt cake or whatever.
I've seen that word a few times this week, and I'm like, man,
marzipan?
I got to look this up, man.
So, well, I mean, here, let's have a taste. I mean, that what you're... portion of that. It's almost like amaretto a little bit.
Yeah, when I at prop day, I keep going back to prop day, but at prop day it was like all like straight fresh blueberry juice, but now it kind of tastes like an almond cookie almost, you know.
Yep.
And I wasn't getting that Friday.
It's kind of the two things that they're both there,
whatever it is.
And they both ride all the way through and they both give just enough room for the original Bourbon County to come through as well. So we have that debate every year. Where do we want the level to be at with the ingredients? Do we want, you know, to be ingredient forward? Do we want just nuance, you know? And people stand in line and they, you know, they pay a pretty penny for the stuff. And we always want people to feel like, you know, like they're getting their money's worth. And then we put a lot, I mean, you know, we use excellent ingredients. We spend a lot of time in R&D in these things. And we're very proud of them. So we feel great about that, but we talk about where that level should be every year.
Yeah.
You know, are we just going to blow people away with something? Are we going to pull it back? Are we covering up too much of the Bourbon County character?
Yeah.
You know, is this a particular ingredient that we want to pull forward more? So we have a lot of discussion about that. And it's kind of if someone was who was an accountant or something was watching us do our work, they would just be shaking their head, you know?
I guess you could get to a point where, like, yeah, like you said, people are standing in line for Black Friday, they go take it home, and they're like, well, I kind of get blueberry.
You know,
we don't want to be in that
place. I think
place.
It's in there somewhere.
I think I'm getting it.
No, it's there.
Bourbon County, you get the same thing, right?
Yeah. Now, were there any of these trials where it was like, all right, what the hell was this guy thinking? Or, man, this is great, but there's no way we could scale this up. Were there any like entries like that?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think there's probably
certainly a couple brewers out there who are having a little bit of fun or just trying something really, really wild that was probably not quite, where it needed to be. Did you guys have, did you stop in over St. Paddy's Day at all?
No, what are you talking about? What's St. Paddy's Day?
St. Paddy's Day was like mint chocolate chip.
Was that in Bourbon County?
Yeah, we have a specific
Shamrock Shake from the...
What? That would have been fun.
It really was. We didn't feel like it fit the Bourbon County family, really, you know? But it was surprising. Like, I remember going into that one, I was like, I gotta taste this? But the balance was really good. Like, they got it. They got it right, you know? I mean, I think they added a little bit of... they bumped it up with something. I can't remember. I think it was... a little bit of milk sugar as well to sweeten it, you know, to offset a little bit of the sharpness from the mint. And I think there was some maybe some cocoa nibs involved as well. Maybe even a little bit of vanilla as well. So
that sounds like early days of Fobab kind of thing, where Goose would show up with a, you know, Neapolitan flavor, and this was the only time you would ever see Bourbon County Neapolitan. And
right.
It didn't exist outside.
Yeah. Right, right. So it was a fun one. We just thought that it was kind of a, you know, didn't really fit the brand because it was so distinct in and of itself, but we were like, let's have some fun. So that was kind of a fun one that came out of this same set. So it gives you an idea of how early we start working on these.
Right on.
What's the, how much like almond extract does it take to put in here? Cause people have baked with it. And it's like a teaspoon.
Yeah, no, not much. Not much.
McCormick must love these guys, right? The little McCormick, the guys that make like nutmeg.
We use all those little jars we buy at Jewel.
That's why.
Just cases and cases. I mean, it took hours of people just, no.
Sorry. I don't know where I was going with that.
Okay. But then the prop, that was another one that was kind of came out of that innovation of every year. This was one that Nick, I think, was telling me the story that this was presented every year, a version of.
Like something with banana was rolling like every year to these trials from like the one brewer from Quinn.
Yeah.
And 3 years in a row.
Yeah. And it's a challenging flavor to integrate. And I think, I mean, Quinn really stuck to it. We do 3 rounds of trials. So you can, if you submit your recipe the first time, you can take more Bourbon County and go home, take the feedback that people give, and go make it again.
Okay.
Maybe you want to bring that up a little bit, bring this down a little bit, whatever. And you can go through it 3 times. You know, your first aggregate, we score them 1 to 5, I think we score for these. I don't know why we invented our a separate scale.
I didn't know that.
These,
so they're checking and adjusting. Second round, they're coming back with a tweaked beer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
And I'll be honest. I mean, you know, it's, you know, it's a, to some extent, it's the effort that people put in. If somebody's got a concept and they're like, hey, you know, I gotta get 600 barrels of beer through the centrifuge today. Like, you know, I wish I could have put more into this, but the concept we can tell is really good. We might push someone along, or we might, you know, whatever, but. There is a lot of individual effort that I personally love to see. You know, own your project, own your idea, make it as good as you can. Take the feedback. We have a process that we put a fair bit of effort into and time. You know, we dedicate time to these things that is gets pretty extensive. You know, and so I love it when people put forth a good effort. And Quinn definitely did that this year. Right out of the gate, it was good, and he refined it and made it better each time. And again, got the balance right with the ingredients, and put out a beer that I really like. I liked it the first time I tried it.
This comes right at you with banana, like as soon as Bo poured it, like so straight it banana bread.
It wasn't
like,
just we're sick of you submitting banana every year.
Like we give in.
We give in. Just do it so you can do something else
right.
This year. This was finally like...
No, I mean, it was a totally legit contender winner. And, you know, he did create the banana train slogan this year that he really drove. And I love it. I mean, everybody got behind it. And most importantly, he delivered on the beer. He really owned this beer from start to finish. You know, Mike Siegel, our innovation manager.
Siegel.
Oh my goodness, did I just say that out loud? I did. R&D. We don't innovate. We research and we develop.
All right, there you go. Sorry.
Touch ID on the phone, that's innovation. Putting new ingredients into a beer is research and development.
Okay. You know? Fair enough, fair enough.
Why not? Innovation's a buzzword. It's kind of silly.
Well, and so this complements the blueberry, where in years past, like, that was mumbleberry or not.
You're talking for, for prop?
Yeah, so, like, you needed something that, like, wasn't another berry or another sweet kind of, like, just same. If someone was looking to, like, go out and pick up them all, you want to have an experience. You don't want to be like, oh, this year it's raspberry prop. But we have blueberry. We have the Northwoods too. So you want to make sure it's separate, right, to some degree?
I mean, I think to some degree, sure. You know, we wouldn't do, like you say, two distinct. I mean, we might do two distinct berries. I don't know. It just worked out this way, I guess. But, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You know, we definitely want to have two unique offerings. Yeah. You know, we don't want anything to be too close to one another. That'd be probably not as much fun as it could be otherwise.
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it. I don't know.
There's been a lot of talk lately about, like, you know, we talked about last week, sugary, pastry stouts, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what I'm noticing on these is that, like, you get a lot of dessert flavors, but it's all kind of mid palate. It kind of dries out and bitters. I don't know I don't know how to phrase that,
that bourbon burn kind of.
It turns into, yeah, it dries, it gets dry and bitter in a nice mellow way. It doesn't linger with sweetness.
Yeah, it's more drinkable than you might think coming into it. I don't know if I'm acclimated. I'm sure some people would be like, you're crazy, but for me, it's more drinkable than it should be for being as strong.
Right.
And as full-bodied as it is. So, and I think you're right. I think that bourbon edge that comes through kind of, you know, it sort of cleans up after everything comes across. You know, gets you ready for the next sip and rounds out the overall profile.
It's a fun ride, man. All right, well, Bo's hooking us up with
The final.
Man, this was quick.
Yeah, this is. This
at least it felt quick. It's probably been like 90 minutes for all I know. But now while we're waiting, man, for the next beer, you've had an interesting ride as a brewer, right? Like, mm-hmm. Now a lot of people don't know you started at New Glarus, mm-hmm. So, and you were responsible for, I want to say, the Black IPA. I want to say Blacktop, right? Or maybe even or even the flagship. Moon Man.
Yeah, Moon Man was Dan's idea, and Dan's recipe. What I did with that beer, well, it was named after my cat.
Okay.
And what I did with that beer was, you know, I worked with Dan. It was Dan and Deb, of course, myself and a couple of other people who've been there for a long time. We all kind of worked together on an individual dry hop trial to select the hops that we liked and build the bouquet for the dry hop. And then lots of really fun work that we did on process and trials to kind of make that beer better in a number of different ways out in the cellar. I did a lot of that stuff, kind of working hand in hand with Dan, and then sometimes kind of taking, you know, Dan I consider to be my mentor. He's a hell of a brewer and a good guy, and I wouldn't be here without them. There's no two ways about that.
Then you've worked with some interesting characters. Every time I go to a Great Taste, Dan's got the Lederhosen on. He's ready to party, right? And then they got that brewery up on the hill up there in Wisconsin. Then you come here, and then Mr. Brett Porter's here. So I'm like,
yeah.
These are like two of the biggest characters, and you know,
yeah,
just very interesting personalities. I don't mean characters like they're, you know,
yeah,
like they're goofy or something. Yeah, they're not like a joke. They're just, yeah.
I agree. You know, I don't even know where to go with that. Exactly. Hey,
crazy Uncle Brett, man. I'm just looking at this bottle.
This is what happens when Nick gets, you know,
I'm all over the place, man. I get excited, I'm a goose, and I'm like, yeah, remember that time you worked with that one guy?
Yeah.
But yeah, all right, but before we move on to Reserve, for the record, Prop has bananas, toast, roasted almonds, and cassia bark.
Correct.
I don't think we touched on the ingredients mm-hmm. in Prop this year. So.
Yep. Yeah, so cassia bark is basically cinnamon.
Okay.
And it's It needs to be very controlled. You know, you mentioned almond extract or almond essence before, and cassia bark is very punchy and can overtake beers. And depending on how the ingredients in the beer hold up over time, that one can move to the head of the pack as other gentler contributors sort of subside over time, over a year or two or 3 years. So I think it's important that while you might initially think, oh, it's in a good spot here, I like it, it's right up there. You might want to just be a little more careful and consider if you're putting a beer out that's intended to be aged over time, that depending on the makeup of the beer, and every beer is different, that it might come to the forefront more down the road. So I think, again, Quinn did a great job being, I guess, judicious with his use of cassia bark. So I really like the way it fits right now as it is as well. So and I would imagine over time the banana will come off a bit. Imparting the character of any sort of toasted nut or roasted nut is tricky in beer, and that tends to kind of settle back after time as well. Right. So
yeah, a lot of these beers, people end up buying, you know, multiple bottles and sitting on them. Nick and I have opened up bottles from other breweries and stuff, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, depending on, like, it may have snuck back in the back of your fridge and you just forgot about it.
That's true. We do like a Cellerate after the show sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these are flash pasteurized, so they're gonna remain at a certain level. So that's the goal anyway.
But well, that's not really what
these other flavors in there, like,
oh yeah, you're
especially
right,
like coffee or that cassia bark, like it's going
right.
Those are going to swing more extreme than maybe just like stout.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is really more about the individual ingredients, right?
Gotcha.
Some of them hang around better than others, and berry tends to hang around well, and spice tends to hang around pretty well. If you've had Prop from last year, you'll notice that it was always fairly peppery, but I think it's still quite peppery. Had one the other day, it was delicious.
Props weren't good last year's Prop?
I love Bo's doing like interpretive
yeah.
pantomime over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's almost like charades or something. Like, three years. I was gonna say something. Oh yeah, what's going on at Goose these days? It's like the old Fulton facility. That's, I know you got the big fermenters outside. They're like 400 barrel fermenters or something like that. And it's like a 50 barrel brew house, 30 barrel brew house, something like that.
Yeah, it's a 50 barrel brew house.
50 barrel brew house, 400 barrel fermenters.
Not with Bourbon County, but with other brands, we can get a little more out of it than 50. Yeah.
So you're probably making the Sisters and BCS. That takes up like most of the year. Is that fair to say?
It's a pretty even balance, really.
Okay.
I mean, we're brewing those things year round, as needed. But you know, we got a lot of other stuff, you know, that is made there and being developed there. So
cool.
It comes together. It's surprising, you know. You think about it, and then you look and at the final numbers, and you're like, oh, we're actually making a fair bit of that. Oh, and that, and oh, and that too. That's interesting. So.
Okay.
I don't look at the schedule too much these days.
I hear you.
All right, all right, so cool. We have the last one here, the Reserve. Tell us about this one. Like, what's making this one different from the original?
Yeah, so Reserve this year was a little thing that we did with Knob Creek. We got some 11-year-old Knob Creek barrels that were... we had a little bit of a, I'm now buddies with Fred Noe, who's the seventh generation master distiller for Jim Beam down there. He's just a great guy. He's a kindred spirit in that he tells it like it is, and he's the same guy that he ever was, and you know, he doesn't get wrapped up in the professionalism of anything that he's doing, and he doesn't bring any, I don't know, I guess, you know, there's no pretentiousness to him at all.
Sure, okay.
You know, he told me a great story the other day. He said, I was at I was at a tasting of with another master distiller, a distiller from Scotland, and you know, it was this whole thing, and the guy said, you know, you got to have it in this kind of glass, and you can't have any ice, and you know, you got to taste it like this. And he says, I told him, we drink it any way we want in Kentucky. Y'all got too many rules. And I love that. The first time I met him, he told me something like that. You know, he said, you know, if you like it with ice or with a little bit of water or a splash of soda, however you like it is great.
Yeah.
You know, and I just like that approach, you know, in higher end or rare beers or in spirits or wine, there can be some pretentiousness and there can be some of that stuff just gets out of hand a little bit.
Especially with a guy of his lineage, you could be a total snob when you're Fred No.
He's about the coolest dude you're ever gonna meet.
That's cool.
Yeah, because if you look at like coffee or even beer, like there's so much more that happens before you put it into a glass that your glass is such a small part of it that it could have been changed or messed up way in the process and your glass isn't going to fix that or affect that much. So
right.
Enjoy it for that moment, like appreciate that moment no matter if you have the right glass or
So in this case with the Knob Creek barrels, they were all older for Knob Creek, and this beer was entirely aged in just those barrels. And what we knew going into this was that we weren't going to get a beer that was like drastically different, right? But what we did expect, or at least hope for, was that the nuance would reflect the sort of big bold flavor of Knob Creek, right? Knob Creek's very much a full flavored bourbon. And I think it's got its own bit of uniqueness to it. And as I've picked this beer apart, you know, and you put it side by side here with original.
Yeah.
You need some more original.
I need some more original. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jared.
Yeah, I was just going back and forth between the two, trying to remember.
How's your glass over
there? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm going back and forth. And you do pick up different flavors. You get a little more of that whiskey kind of heat from it versus the Bourbon County's maybe a little, the original's a little sweeter, a little more of that. Nick said brownies kind of in my head now.
Yeah.
Not so much, but.
Well, I'll be careful with that suggestive sensory. That's a.
Now, you went down there for this one, right? Down to Kentucky and hung out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You stay in Louisville and then you travel out to these distillery? Or what'd you do when you were down there?
I stayed at the wrong hotel. I was out on the highway somewhere.
Oh, like but close to the distillery.
Yeah, I mean, Louisville's not far from from where we were.
Right.
So I got to hang out with them down there and just see the place and got to go to a place called the Knob Creek House.
Okay.
Which is up on a hill back on the property in Claremont. It was great.
We got the old man grumpy smiling after round six.
Well,
I like it.
There were fishing poles in the
in
the closet. And this is old classic house. You know, the big old porch that wraps around two sides of the house and Greg Hall was there and Fred was there, and those guys had some work to do on camera and in interviews and things like that, and I saw those fishing rods and I grabbed one. I went down to the pond. I caught like six bass. It was great. Not a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Fishing pressure on the private property of the Jim Beam Distillery. That was kind of cool. Fred brought that up the other day when I was in New York with him. Oh, I was like, yeah, probably should have been paying close attention to what everybody else was doing, but
like, no.
I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go have a couple casts here, see what's in this pond.
Yeah. So, original and reserve, age, same amount of time.
Your reserve was on average, yeah. So it's a good question. Original is, you see some people, it's an average age blend. We to say a minimum of 8 months up to 12 months for Bourbon County Stout, and we brew Bourbon County year round because we have to. It's that inefficient to put through the brewery, And we can't reuse the yeast that comes out of this beer, obviously. It's just a massive high alcohol fermentation. And in those sorts of high alcohol, high gravity, we say, fermentations, it's just very hostile and it's very deleterious to the yeast. And we don't reuse the yeast that comes off Bourbon County Stout. So in the end, we have to balance it with all the other production that we have throughout the year, so we have yeast to use. However, because of all of that, we basically need to brew year-round. We just have a cutoff, right? So when we know we're going to be doing our last production runs in the cellar, right, when it comes out of the barrels, that has to be 8 months. So, but what that means is that realistically, the beer could be as old as about 15 and a half months. So, and we try to blend to around an 11-month average. So, and we're pretty successful at that.
Nice, okay.
So in the case of the reserve, it went a little bit longer. I don't know how long. I think it was around 11 months.
Okay.
11 or 12 months.
It's definitely got more attitude than the original. It's a fitting tribute. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I dig that.
Nice. So that's this year's lineup.
None of this three-month nonsense like the guys that won FOBAB this year. They're like, yeah, we took this beer, we put it in barrels for 3 months. None of that. None of that's going on here, Brett.
Well, there's different schools of thought on it, and they're all valid, you know. I mean, in the end, people's palates rule. You know, we're just trying to, you know, I don't actually face the question very often, but people ask, you know, like things that changes, you know, and nothing changes. Bourbon County Stout needs, the only thing that changes is you know, making different variants every year. But the base recipe and the processes, unless they're for the purposes of sort of optimization or efficiency, assuming there are no actual changes to the beer itself, we would do, but otherwise there's no recipe changes, no aging time changes. We're always vetting cooperage and trying to understand more about the cooperage that we use and, you know, how to keep good connections to get good quality barrels.
Yeah.
But again,
it's
you know,
kind of a popular thing now, right?
It's really about stewardship. I mean, we've innovated the process, right, to be more efficient, but nothing changed other than efficiency and safety, which is, you know, a key facet of what we do is work safely.
I wanted to touch on double barrel a little bit because that's the draft only one from this year. Is it really like it sat in barrels 1 year and then you put it in a different fresh barrel for another period of time? Is that
correct? It was a total time that was around a year, I believe.
Okay.
And there were, you know, two fresh barrels used within that time period.
Cool. I wasn't sure. That was one of the things I never got clear on.
So all these are going to be available this Friday, except the prop is Chicago only, but everyone else like across the country should be able to, if they've waited in line or...
Reserve is also only Chicago and Kentucky.
Okay.
Right. So.
So yeah, everyone else, you know, you got to either trade or make your way out here.
Yeah. I mean, I met a guy the other day who had already, you know, showed up from Ohio. Every year we meet people who come from far and wide. So,
yeah.
Oh, so yeah, where are you going to be for Black Friday?
I don't think I'm going to be anywhere for Black Friday. I'm taking a break.
I hear you.
yeah, I'll just be tucked away, chilling.
But then Nick, you have a list of places. If you don't wait in line to get bottles, you can go just. Have these on draft too.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Daniel who slid over the list. We got O'Toole's, Timothy O'Toole's.
Yeah.
That's a 5 p.m. Dirty Nellies, Fat Pour, Whirly Ball, Jake Melnick's, Long Room, and Beerhead out in Elmhurst, Illinois. Hello. We'll probably put that on the website as well.
Yeah.
That's all like Black Friday parties going down
for
the celebration of what has to be the greatest stout of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Guinness worldwide. But we're talking barrel-aged American stouts. There isn't a stout more influential than this one. So we had to go and pay respects.
Are
it's
you
November.
In line?
You know, there's a Benny's two blocks from me on Diversey, man. And I'm off work, so yeah. I mean, I'm gonna get after it, man.
Yeah, the tap room's got beer that day too.
Oh yeah, the revamped Clybourne pub.
Yeah.
No, yes, they do too, but so does the brewery. Both of them do.
Fulton.
So they'll chime up right after the sale begins at Binney's in Lincoln Park there, mm-hmm. and start doing hourly releases. And then we're doing 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the brewery.
Oh, wow.
At Fulton Street.
I think that's new.
Also hourly kind of releases?
I don't know if there's hourly releases.
Releases.
If they had asked me, I would have said, put them all on.
Yeah.
So I was at a beer festival one time, and I was working with she was a salesperson, a good friend of mine. She said, well, do you want to do we had a bunch of rare bottles that we had brought along. And we had, we had vanilla and we had, I think we must've had bramble and rare original, the first rare.
Yeah.
And she's like, should we do them one? I was like, let's just start popping bottles. Like, we didn't have anything scheduled to do like hourly. Yeah. It was the end of the festival, and it was really fun. I was seeing all these people running around, and I got like 45 minutes to go run around the festival, and some really nice people that we met, and it's always very humbling and inspiring to have people just appreciating what we're doing. It's what any brewer wants. It's why a lot of people get into the business, because beer has been part of our culture for a long, long time, and it's a special thing. And to have people come and to travel and for the beer, then to appreciate it, and then you end up talking to them. I don't get a chance to talk to people all that often outside the brewery. And it's really fun, and it's really nice. And some of those folks, I was just kind of whispering to them. I was like, we're gonna open some bottles at, 5:30, like right before the festival ended. And it ended up being a total melee, and I was just like, I love it. It's just popping bottles, like one in each hand and just pouring, fun.
Yeah. The frenzy never gets old, man. So, and we appreciate it, man. We got the Brewmaster Goose Island here. So this was really cool, man.
Yeah, thanks for taking time with us. I know we have a lot of listeners that are probably going to be waiting in line this Friday for these beers. So it's cool to get to try them now and let them know.
Well, I'll give a pre shout out to all those people. It's their enthusiasm that drives our industry. It's amazing the passion that beer drinkers bring and beer enthusiasts bring is equal to the passion that brewers bring to put it out. So, without those folks, we wouldn't have jobs. It's great. I mean, I'm serious about that. Those are the sorts of people who drive excitement in the industry. And are truly passionate about it. And we all came into this industry because of a passion that we have for beer. And there's a real kindred sense there that I personally appreciate very, very much. So it's my favorite part of releasing Bourbon County Stout is the people who come to drink it and buy it. So
awesome. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week, probably reporting on our more Bourbon County stout drinking and gathering of bottles.
Man, barrel-aged beers used to just be the weekend of FOBAB. I swear, this is the whole month of November now.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
All right, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, you guys.